Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life mister, segment serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm going to try to give you some fun, juicy, good news. This is coming from the show Dish Nation. Apparently, Lisa Bonet and Jason Momoa, we were so sad when we heard they broke up because they just ooze sexuality and hotness. Well, apparently they are back living together. Last I heard, he was like living in some rich friend of his RV, like a fancy RV near Topanga Canyon so he could be near his kids. Well, I guess he got out of the RV and apparently is living back with her and they're trying to make it work. So that's kind of sweet because you rarely hear that in Hollywood. But then in the same week, we hear that Ben Stiller and his wife, Christine Taylor, they have been married a very long time, like 20 years, have a couple kids. They, you know, announced they were breaking up or getting divorced. I don't know if they ever like filed or had attorneys or what, but now they're saying they never even dated other people and now they are rekindling their marriage. So, you know, there's been a lot of COVID breakups. Maybe now that some of the states are lifting the mask mandates, maybe people will chill the F out and give it one more chance to fall in love. Oh, I'm watching Love is Blind, and I'm going to get into details on Thursday's show once I'm finished with the series, so better catch up. You've got a couple days to watch it because Justin Martindale and I are going to get into it. But as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, Peter, we should be so much more in love right now. All these people want is just to be married and like have a partner. And like here, all the married people are like miserable. There's whole shows about people that all they want to do is be married. If you're married, just know you're the envy of the world. Maybe if us married people start walking around just knowing that we are the envy of every person that's on a reality show right now that wants to get married, we are their couple goals. Maybe we won't be so hard on ourselves. Speaking of getting married, Colton Underwood, he did a whole show where he was on The Bachelorette trying to get married. Then he became The Bachelor trying to get married. Then he finally came to his truth and got another show called Being Colton or something on Netflix that nobody talked about. Anyway, it was him coming out and
coming out Colton.
I don't know. And keeping up with Colton. I don't know. Anyway, he, though, you know, came to his truth, told his parents who were conservative and he didn't think they'd accept it, that he is gay. Shortly, I think even before I could even watch one episode of the show, we found out he was already in love with this guy. He said he liked daddies. So that just means in the gay world, like just like a guy that's a little older than you, I guess, that could kind of be your dad. I don't know. Or look like a dad. They're engaged. I don't know who asked whom, but they got engaged and I don't know if this is going to be televised or anything. I don't know if they can get a deal at Kay Jewelers like that other gay couple did. I don't know. But because I have to say, I don't think that their show got a lot of buzz. And so good for them. Good for them. I'm excited to watch what happens. They seem happy. I'm still so curious to know what happened to Cassidy. She absolutely didn't want to do any interviews when he came out as gay. She does not want to talk to me. But if you do, I would love to hear your perspective now because you were his fiance. You met him on the show and he was pretty awful to you because he wasn't facing his truth. But anyway, do you feel different? Does time heal the wounds of anger? Okay. Jussie Smollett, you guys, his people are demanding that he get a new trial. They are saying that the verdict of him being found guilty of faking his own hate crime, wasting police resources, lying to the police, they're saying that this just isn't fair because they didn't they didn't get access to the jurors the way they think they should have. Basically, what I gather is one juror had family that was in law enforcement and she was part of the jury. So I find this kind of interesting because I do remember someone saying to me many years ago, if you ever get called for jury duty and you want to get on jury duty, just say that you have a lot of law enforcement in your family. And chances are the defense won't want you on the jury. But I mean, I think that's dumb. I think people can be unbiased. And I mean, if you're going to just exclude everybody for any possibility that they might be sympathetic to one or the other side, I just don't know how you're going to. I mean, the whole point is you're having 12 people on there because it's not just up to one person. Anyway, I think they did a really good case and I don't think it was a hard thing to prove, but he is trying to get another trial. So good luck to him. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a TV show 2 years from now. I really wouldn't. Everybody that was canceled seems to just be living their life 2 years later, and no one seems to care. Okay, speaking of people that are living their life, TMZ is now saying that the Tindler Swindler dude that looks a lot like Josh Flagg, my friend, is supposedly expecting to get $20,000 a night to appear at a nightclub. I mean, really? Like, you're the club promoter and you're like, you know how we could fill this place on a Saturday night? Let's get the Tinder Swindler here. Pay him 20 grand. Maybe. I can't imagine that you couldn't get other hot social influencer TV people and pay them that much or less and have a better crowd come. But maybe people are that curious. Hey, look, I'm still talking about him. Well, I wonder if the family that he was pretending to be part of got wind of this and his cameo money and was like, you know what? We are going to sue him for lying about us. He lied to all these people and said that he was our son. He photoshopped himself into our photo. He changed his last name to match ours. He is not part of our diamond family fortune. And they are suing him. And they said that we'll stop at nothing and want whatever money we recover from this guy, who now appears to be making some, we will give to his victims. So I think we're not done with them. This is a crazy story that has so many elements. This ex-Goldman Sachs banker, Tim Lesner, is right now in court for allegedly stealing up to $200 million from 1MDB. It stands for this like Malaysian big financial fund, and it goes deep. And he said in court that he twice faked divorce to marry his next spouse. And he used Photoshop documents to wed reality star Kimora Lee Simmons. Kimora Lee Simmons, we haven't really heard a lot about her. She was kind of in the heyday of like around 2008, 9, 10, 11. That's when her show was on E! So she married Russell Simmons. They had two adorable little girls. And she was on E! For like 6 years. And I think a couple of years after that, she had one more like show on another network, but it didn't really hit. It was just kind of one of those shows where we just followed her around and her little girls. And it was just about like trying on outfits and building a brand, trying, you know, having a lot of assistance and like rearranging a closet. She then met another actor, I forgot his name, and had one child with him. Then she thought she married this guy, Tim, and they had a son. But now he is admitting, this guy, Tim, that he submitted fake documents to marry first Judy Chan, a former analyst at Goldman, in 2000, while he was married to an unidentified woman. So he was married to one woman, still married to her, married this other woman at Goldman Sachs. Then I don't know what happened to that marriage. He must have still been married to her. Maybe not. I don't know how many times he's been married. But then he photoshopped divorce documents to marry model and reality TV star Kimora Lee Simmons in 2014. And when I looked up her Wikipedia, it says that she has a son with him, but it doesn't say they were married because I don't think it was legal. I think she thought it was. But in 2014, it was her last reality show was 2013. So she probably was like, I have no more TV shows in my future. Oh my God, this guy's smart. He's a businessman. I'm done dealing with rappers and actors. I'm just going to have a nice Goldman Sachs, just salt of the earth, businessman, financial guy, only to find out that this guy is the worst, okay? So he, so this admission about faking this with women was after this guy, Tim Lester, testified against Roger N.G. Goldman's former head of investment banking in Malaysia, who allegedly led a corruption scheme. Earlier this week, Lesnar also admitted to having a decade-long affair with a former client, Rohana Rosen, and then Rosen, the CEO of Meset Broadcasting and former CEO of Astro Malaysia Buildings, allegedly then blackmailed him, Lesnar, to buy her a $10 million home. So he lied to women to marry other women. Then he's on trial for stealing all this money. And at the same time, he was also being blackmailed by another woman and having to buy her a $10 million house. So, I mean, this guy, I mean, why is there, there should be a Netflix doc being made about him. And he should, I don't think people would want a cameo or go to a nightclub, but I'm just saying he's right there. Like this story, I'm still so confused. I was like, how have I not heard about this? It's just, but it goes from US to China, like it's everywhere. And this guy was just a full of shit person. I'm just imagining like Kimora being like, yes, oh, you know him, up at four for the stock market. And it was just all bullshit. Yes. Okay, Amanda Bynes, you remember Amanda Bynes. She was a child actor. She did all these fun movies when she was a teenager. Then she kind of struggled where, you know, she was wearing the blue wigs and people were concerned. And then she didn't want to be near her parents and she was going to go to fashion school. Anyway, she has been in a conservatorship that her parents have, I think her mother does, and she believes her condition has improved, and her lawyer tells people that that she's filing to end her conservatorship, which I think she'll probably succeed in. I really think Britney helped with all of that, and I think people are really looking at this in a much different way. Britney's having the time of her life. She's with her fiance, Sam. They are in Hawaii. And she is dancing around in a little red dress. And just when I was like, you know what, girl, you're onto some new stuff. No, she packed the brown pumps. I have noticed that there are several versions of the brown sensible pump. This one is a lighter with more of a pointed toe. The one that I kind of feel like is sort of her dancing shoe is a like more of a Minnie Mouse, like rounded toe, and it's a darker brown. Anyway, one of the things I noticed, someone else noticed, is that there was some woman that is filming her. And then she was in what looks to be like a beautiful pool in Hawaii, and it's just Sam's back, and it's Sam's post, her fiance, and she's like, you know, hugging, kissing him. And I'm like, now, is that same woman have to get in the pool and film that? I mean, just imagine you're just the person that's like, what do? Oh, I just go on trips with rich people and just take their Instagram for them. You know, maybe sometimes I order some food or ask if we can have more towels. I mean, I don't know. How busy is the day for someone like that? But I'm sure she's got a couple bodyguards and whatever, and everybody knows how to work an iPhone. So that way we can be entertained. This was an awful story. Shanna Mokler, who is Travis Barker's ex-wife, who was on, do we know who won Big Brother? Yeah. Is it over with? Who won?
Misha, the WMA.
Oh, the girl I didn't know who was. Misha won. She's like a W, what is she?
She's like a fighter.
Oh, a fighter, not a basketball player.
Yeah,
okay, anyway, whatever. She won, okay, but I woke up to this awful thing that someone sent me, and it was her Instagram. So I don't know if this boyfriend that she had logged into it or took her phone or what, but it was like 7:20 in the morning, and he's walking around filming himself and filming the house across the street from them, saying that Shanna is an awful person, using the most disgusting derogatory words to describe her that I don't even want to repeat. He's pointing the camera at this house across the street, and he's like, this guy is married with a wife, and this is where she spent the night. And first when I watched it, I was like, wait a minute. Did she spend the night there because she was fighting with you and this is a neighbor that she's friendly with and she's just like, I have to get away from this freak? Or he kind of was making it sound like she's having an affair with the guy across the street. Anyway, he got arrested and this person, Sharon Tharp, she, I guess, got the police report. So this is pretty awful. But according to the police report, the suspect, the guy Matthew, had grabbed the victim, Shanna, by the hair, swung her by the hair on the ground. The suspect grabbed victim's face and neck, threw chair at victim, and urinated on victim, leaving visible injuries. She got a protective, an emergency protective order against him. And it's valid through March 3rd, and then she can go to court and hopefully file, you know, one that's of a longer time frame. Then he, like, posted, had somebody else post something about some niece that's his birth, that was her birthday. Did you see that?
No.
That was that girl's face that he was like, oh, I can't even wish my niece a birthday. Like, he's trying to act like a victim. I don't know when they started to date or what. He also said on the video, oh, she's not over Travis. I've never been so disrespected and humiliated in my whole life. She thinks I'm not successful. I have more money than she. I don't know how long they've been dating, what happened with this guy, why he freaked out, took her phone, acted like this. Again, this is just what I got from Twitter that someone's apparently, oh, I guess they got it from Us Magazine. It's really horrible and hopefully she's safe. And but my God, I guess she had just gotten home from doing Big Brother to hi boyfriend and this is what you get? Shit, awful. Speaking of new girlfriends, Kanye West has a new girlfriend. Her name's Chaney Jones. And people didn't know how they met. Guess how they met? Well, she slid into his DMs. How else? She looks a lot like him, but so do a lot of people these days. She's tan. She has a nice curvy body, pretty enhanced lips. She wears the big sunglasses. Another photo of her, she's got the long black hair with those big sunglasses. I mean, she really does look like him, but even without like her, but even without the glasses, she looks like her. I don't know how serious it is. She's 20 years younger than Kanye. Meanwhile, Kanye is fighting the divorce. Kim has written a 155-page response to why they should grant her divorce because pleading with the judge or whoever, please grant the divorce. By me being single, it's a good sign to Kanye to move on with his life. It's good for our family that we have some finality to this. He's now saying, I don't want any of my social media posts that I've done to be used in court against me in this divorce because I don't even, you know, there's no proof to say that I actually wrote those. But then Annie reminded me, but meanwhile, he did all those posts where he held up the yellow legal pad, just maybe it was one of Kim's yellow legal pads for when she was studying. And said, I'm not hacked. This is me. I'm saying all this stuff. I don't know. I just really hope that he can just leave her alone and let her like live her life. Apparently, she gave Pete Davidson a big hickey before he went on stage on Saturday to do Saturday Night Live. Just let them have fun and watch him on Hulu. Okay, listen. Noella on Real Housewives of OC, I just came across. She just did a post. And she is talking. And she says, as a black woman, I would like my legacy to be that my great-great-grandbabies will be comfortable knowing that I fought for their joy and their sexuality and their gender identity and being strong women. That will be my legacy. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You're on Real Housewives of OC, in which you told everybody that you gave your husband, who's a personal injury attorney, Sweet James, a stack of vaginas for his birthday, which was you and two other girls, who knows who they are, where you found them, what they identified as sexually, what their job was, why they were there. Do you think the grandbabies will be like, my great-great-grandmother started a great expression that is stack of vaginas and it's just really empowering and I'm really Anyway, just I can't with these people. Speaking of a housewife that's doing some really wonderful things, Bethany Frankel's charity, Be Strong, where she really comes in and has done so much for just disaster relief. She is got over $10 million already sent helping the refugees in the Ukraine. And I think she makes it really easy to donate and be part of it. So, you know, rarely do we talk about, you know, that's actually, she can actually say my grandbabies will be saying this, which is better than a stack of vaginas, a stack of cash helping people that need it. And now I'm very excited to talk about all the latest scoop. We had a reunion of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City last night, and I'm talking to Margaret Josephs, who just so tells it like it is, who's on the Real Housewives of New Jersey, and we cover it all. But also, even if you don't watch the shows, you will really enjoy this interview because we just kind of get into what it is about, you know, exposing your life on these shows, dealing with marital problems, affairs, that is all very relatable to everybody. So right now, everybody, please join Return Juicy Scooper, Margaret Josephs. So I'm so excited. I'm talking to Return Juicy Scooper, fabulous New Jersey housewife, Margaret Josephs. How are you?
Oh my God, Heather, I'm so happy to be back here on with Juicy Scoop with you. I mean, I missed you and I'm glad you're feeling well. So I'm just so happy to be back.
Well, yes, thank you. And you just did Wendy Williams.
Yes, I did Wendy Williams this morning with Michael Rapaport. It was a lot of fun. And
hilarious.
And the way to make the day, be in the afternoon with you.
Yes. Well, Margaret, it's a very juicy season of New Jersey. Thanks in part to you. And going to catch people up to speed. How would you check? Why don't you get everyone up to speed in case they're not watching? People still enjoy my show because we get into really what makes all these stories happen, because it is revealed on the show that many years back, Jennifer, who's married to a plastic surgeon who has five children, her husband had an affair.
Yes. I mean, and listen, this is something that I had known, that he had an affair. You know, the timeline is questionable, what she says, but that I could care less because I met my husband by having an affair, which I was very honest about. She calls it boasting. I call it just telling the truth. I had said it because, of course, if you go on a reality show, Heather, you know better than anybody, everything comes out. There are no secrets.
Right.
So I knew prior to her getting on the show about Bill and his coworker, but I was like, all right, fine. You know, her and I might get along. Maybe she'll say something about me triggers her. She'll be honest about it. But no, she had the loudest voice in the room to chastise me, all the craziness. So I always held it in. But last year was too much when I revealed about my sexual harassment. And she was like, you know, you slept your way at the top, all these things, negating everything that happened to me, making it out like victim shaming. I was like, you know what? This projection has gone too far. I gave her opportunity to apologize. She didn't. So I was just like, the hypocrisy was way too rampant for me. And I was just like, your family doesn't have the cleanest backyard. Shut your mouth, kind of thing.
Right. And then we look back at the first season, I think, that she was on, and you guys went to LeBlanc in Cabo, which I've been to, and I love that place. And you're sitting out there, and you just throw something out, and you say, oh, please, your husband sleeps in the pool house or something, which then made her furious.
Livid.
And later on, you're like, I just said that to whatever, get your goat. But in retrospect, was it because you knew of this information and figured you might be sleeping in the pool house because your marriage is not the most perfect thing on earth?
Of course I did it to, you know, say something obnoxious because she was saying so many rude things. Your mother's this, or, you know, all these horrible things. So I also mentioned about the girlfriend. I said, well, you know, that's whatever his girlfriend says. And I said, hit a nerve, you know, I said it like that. And she had unraveled. I felt bad. She was a first season housewife. It obviously upset her. I didn't want to cut her to the core. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to hit it home. And that was it. And I thought maybe, you know, her behavior would change towards me, but it clearly did not.
No. And then last season we saw your book came out, which was really great. And yes, right from the start, when we first saw you join the cast, you were very honest about the fact that you were married all these years, not happy. Your contractor came in, Joe, and you guys fell in love. You did have an affair, and eventually you got divorced. You're able to save a very nice relationship and friendship with your ex-husband of all these years, who you have a son with. And you know, that is what, you know, you probably knew. This is my story. It's a juicy story. I've never hid it from anybody in the neighborhood. I'm not going to hide it from the producers, and I'm not going to hide it from the viewers. And I just thought that was, you know, interesting because, look, yes, affairs are not good, but it is true that some people, you know, meet their second spouse in
through an affair.
While they're with someone else, and they do last forever. I mean, it does happen.
And listen, I'm not saying people don't get hurt. No one's a cheerleader for affairs.
Right.
But you have to be honest. That's the way things happen. And going on the show, I was not going to like pretend that's not what happened. You know,
right.
I didn't I look like an idiot.
And so many times when that does happen, and it's even happened with a friend of mine whose husband cheated on her, and you know, they were trying and she was trying to protect him and the children by never revealing that, you know, because the kids were little, that this was going on before they got divorced. And eventually, you know, now the kids are old and they've kind of figured it out and whatever. But it's like sometimes when that happens, people try to say, no, you know, we were separated or we were just good buddies. And then when I filed for divorce, then one night, and it's like, you didn't want to like create whatever, some different scenario. And I really thought that was great. And what happened in the show for that need to be reminded is, yeah, she would just constantly kind of go after that and go after your story of your honest story of being in the fashion industry and, you know, having a sexual harassing boss and how you reacted to it and what happened and just being completely honest about it, which I thought was so refreshing because we always hear, you know, we don't always hear, but we hear all these different like kind of Me Too stories. And
yes,
you know, and I've always said, you know, there's got to be people like with a Harvey Weinstein throughout his years that did it and didn't say anything about it and maybe got a part or whatever and know he's a pig and wish they didn't have to go that route, but probably did, you know, because not every single person that he went after, you know, rejected him or considered it rape. Otherwise, he wouldn't have kept doing it. So there's some people that...
I agree with you. And that's what it was. And I was a very young girl. These were men that were 20 something plus years older than me. And in the garment center, I mean, this was going on. It was rampant. So I wasn't looking to even name the person or anything like that. I was just saying this was the experience I had. And, you know, to flip it like, you know, that, you know, to slut shame and this, that just every of her hurt was projected on me. And, you know, she has to have some self-awareness that you can't do this. My life didn't affect her. And that's just so crazy. Like when I said, you know, I don't like your drinking, my mother drank. I know where it stems from. You know, I was honest about it. Don't drink. It's not attractive. You know, I grew up with a mother that drank. She could have, you know, she never said, she made out like her life was picture perfect.
No, and I actually thought you being someone who, you know, doesn't drink, that one incident where she got so wasted at whatever the pool party was,
Teresa's, yes,
and threw up in her husband's car, and everyone had to babysit her. I felt your concern as a genuine friend, a woman, a coworker, even on the same show, being like, slow it down. Like this doesn't look good. It's not funny. It's not cute. And I thought you were being like a good friend to her.
I was
in that moment.
And it was, again, flipped on me. So anytime I showed any concern for her or any warmth towards her, it was always flipped on me. So I think at this point, I was just like, you know what? This is such nonsense. You have such a fake facade of happiness. And you're really just trying to cover. Because the truth is, no one drinks like that. No one behaves like that who's truly happy in their place in life.
And when she was being insensitive and cruel and pointing the finger and on the fact that you were honest about your life in the fashion industry and the situation with your former boss, was it just killing you inside at that moment to be like, really? you know, really, who else has had an office affair?
I passed.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, how did you keep it in?
I passed a comment at last year's reunion. It just didn't make it in.
Oh, they cut it out.
I said something. And it wasn't to her, you know, just like, stop, you know, like every, you got to stop. And it just, but nothing seems to humble her because I was thinking we're in a better place. I was hoping we're in a better place. You know, we do make up. It's just like, cause we are two women and we do come from different perspectives and I can understand hers and her projection. She pretended to know she understands her part, but she really doesn't. And I think her social media is proof of that. I've tried to keep it very clean. A lot of people, but she's playing very much, you've tried to hurt my children and all that. And, you know, that I'm like Cruella DeVille and I eat puppies and babies for dinner, which is obviously not the case. I'm a mother. I'm very protective enough that I don't name my children, don't have my children on the show and do none of the above, you know, and keep them very private.
And, you know, one thing I do think that she said that was kind of interesting in one of her confessionals last week is she said, you know, maybe I did lash out at Margaret last year because I was so like, because the affair that you know, I had accepted and we'd gotten past was obviously still upsetting. And by seeing her something, I don't know. I don't even know if that's true, if she really feels that way, but I thought it was a good, I thought it made her look good.
Yeah, me too. No, listen, I agree. And I think, you know, some self-actualization is healthy. I can understand that she was projecting, and maybe that she realizes that now, but listen, any relationship, right, Heather, any marriage, if there's anything, you have to go to therapy. You can't just bury that, pretend it never happened. And right. And if she thinks that children aren't perceptive with the mood and the tone of the home, that there's some undercurrent, there is an undercurrent. When one partner pretends something never happened, there's an undercurrent. And that's what's going on.
And I also just think, like, if I was on The Housewives and mm-hmm. or, you know, so many of the housewives have, like, you know, shady business stuff or you know, sued or whatever. If that was in my past or if I was currently maybe going through it or trying to figure it out with my accountant, like the last thing I would do at a dinner party is be like, how's that IRS situation going for
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
You know, like that's the last thing I would do. I would avoid it. I'd walk out of the room when the conversation started. I would be like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to act righteous. And so that's what I found was so crazy, like of all the things for her to latch on, that would be the last thing if I was in her position.
Yes. Like, know? Listen, I'm always empathetic to other people who've had business lawsuits. I've had tons of business lawsuits and, you know, most, and it's been with my licensees or whatever it is. So I know the way things could go down the pipe. That's why I was empathetic to Teresa. You know, the law isn't always justice. So I always do, you know, understand both sides. So I try never to talk about anybody's legal issues or anything like that because I've had legal issues. I know when to keep my mouth shut. And that's why I don't understand why someone like her would just be so aggressive towards me continually.
Yes. And then what was the deal with the mean tweet that she sent? I guess it was right after the reunion, so everyone was not, you know, feeling for each other. And she kind of went off after Melissa and her Joe and saying they're crooks. And I don't really – they keep flashing that tweet up. And I don't really understand what that was about.
It was very much at the reunion. She was trying to triangulate relationships, claiming that I had said, my husband's a plumber. I know Joe Gorga doesn't pay his bills. That conversation clearly never happened. I said, my husband's a plumber and works with Joe Gorga. You know, he works with him all the time. He wouldn't work with someone who doesn't pay his bills. So those words would never come out of my mouth. And I would never be someone who's confiding clearly in Jennifer. So she was trying to triangulate relationships, trying to say, I talk about Melissa. I talk about this. There's a snake in the room. So Jackie, myself, Melissa, even Dolores, we all realized like this is a woman who, you know, wants to get in between relationships. So Melissa was so, after she watched the reunion, she was like, wow, this person is so horrible. So when Melissa posted the picture of the reunion, she didn't put Jennifer in her photo. So she just said someone was missing. Nothing vicious or just like she didn't put her in it. This obviously got Jennifer very upset. So she just takes everything to the next level. Then she called the Gorgas crooks in her message. Your crooked family, your crooks, that I was a snake. Just every vile, you know, vile thing. But to call them crooks, you know, just takes it one step further. All right, you're iced, you know, you're not in a picture. Big deal.
Yeah.
It's like that's hurting someone's business. She called them crooks, and it just escalated from there. And that's I was like, wow, you really know no boundaries. You know, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I see that. Then she's, you know, connecting, and then, you know, with Teresa, which it's like, you know, I get all that. Like that, it has to be that way. But before we move on to that, I want to talk about in general, because you don't drink. I have noticed that with a lot of the housewives, especially OC and New Jersey, so much of it is like the evening begins. Let's all do shots. Let's all do shots. Let's all do shots. And I recently said on my show, like, I love to drink. Okay. I have a good time. No, I don't think I've had a girlfriend or anyone go, let's do shots, unless like a Juicy Scoop fan tries to buy me one at a bar or something. But I never start an evening out with shots. Like at our age, it's about like, let's have a great martini or a glass of wine. And I just, is that because some housewives and stuff are like not great unless they've got a buzz on? Can't bring it? They're nervous?
I think when the men are around, it's more about the shots.
Okay.
Where it's just the ladies, there's no shots involved.
All right.
So I think on our show,
yes.
Maybe other shows where Jersey drinks the least. I will say that
I think OC drinks the most.
I'm not sure who drinks the most, but I'll say sometimes people probably need to feel loose and open up their personality. Jersey, truthfully does drink the least, and the men always want to do shots. And I think when the women are around, they're like, all right, we'll all do shots. But the ladies really, you know, have cocktails, and they never pressure me to drink, which is nice. I mean, listen, Teresa's told me I got to loosen up, have a drink and crazy stuff like that. I was like, I don't need to drink to be loose. I'm naturally, obviously crazy enough. If I had a drink, I'd just fall asleep and get a headache.
Yeah.
But I do feel some of them need their, I understand, liquid courage for sure.
Right. So Teresa and Louis, her new fiance, mm-hmm. But at this point in the episodes we're watching, they're not engaged yet, right?
No,
she's
not
calling
engaged
her.
At this
she's
point.
Calling him her boyfriend, yes. And you know, very happy that you know she's very happy to be in love again after what you know went through with husband number one, Joe Giudice. But so over the summer is when, on my birthday weekend, is when, just like you girls, got wind of this video that I guess he did at like a kind of like a weekend boot camp, man up, it seemed very like Christian alpha male, you know, save your marriage type of thing. And he's doing a video with all these guys behind him.
Yes.
And he's proclaiming his love to a woman that obviously he's looking back and maybe wasn't the greatest partner to. He says, I want to marry you. I want to make our family be together. And I assume he sent it to her. They are no longer together because he's with Teresa.
True,
and
true.
Somehow she gave it to someone who then put it on these blogs. And of course, everyone picked it up.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yes. And so you get it just like the rest of us.
Yeah. See, I saw it literally on Instagram. That's where I
right.
saw it. Not in a DM, nothing like that, on Instagram, like the rest of the world saw it.
Yes, that's how I saw it. And I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. I did a parody.
You did the best parody of it ever. It was great.
Because I happened to be on a weekend with my girlfriends. And I'm like, if I went to a woman empowerment, how to be a better wife, like who would be yelling at me to what? Give better blowjobs. Don't be a pillow princess. You know, learn to cook something other than a chicken breast. Like, get your shit together. You don't need any more black shoes. Like, keep going. And it was just kind of funny. And I thought it was funny and weird, but then I also see now the other side of not being so critical of it. Like, because Teresa was like on Watch Albums Live, and she's like, or someone said, like, look, you know, he tried to go to this weekend thing. He tried to save a relationship, and that's his past. And whether you think that's a creepy thing to do. I mean, my husband would never, ever go to like a Christian boot camp thing. But there was a time when I would like be kind of jealous that they existed and that he would have no desire to do that. Like he'll go golfing with friends, but he doesn't want to be preached at.
I felt two ways. First, I was like, this is a private moment.
Yeah.
And I felt bad that it was released. But then the other thing is me, I was like, all right, maybe I'm being critical. It's a therapy thing. I'm all about therapy. I love to go to therapy more than anybody. I'm all about it.
Right.
But then when I looked up what it was, this warrior camp, and you read about it, and the founder did a beautiful article in the Post in 2017, and it's very toxic masculinity camp. Like, you know, men need to get out their primal urges or they're going to beat their women.
Really?
Yes, that's what the article said. So, of course, I was like, he had some explaining to do because that I don't feel is very therapeutic. I don't feel men have a primal behavior that they're going to beat their women. I just don't feel that way. You know, I don't feel like my husband, Joe, you know, has an urge to beat me. So, you know, to take out his frustrations, he's to go there or anything like that. That's in the founder's words himself. Not, I didn't make this up. You know, this is out there. So that's the only reason I thought it was very odd. You know, I'm all about therapy and everything else. So I was like, just let this guy explain it. Every, you know, it was all out there over the internet. If it wasn't out there, I would have never said it. You know, the fans want to know. We would look like idiots if we didn't talk about it.
And, you know, and in Louis.
And by the way, he does explain it. When is this going to air?
Tomorrow.
Okay. After the episode or before the episode?
Well, in the afternoon. Yeah.
Everybody gets to see him explain.
Okay, he does explain it. Yes, he does explain
it.
We see a preview, which will now air tonight. But, of you guys sitting around the fire pit. Yeah.
Yes, it's very controversial. It's not controversial, but you know what happens in the video is not exactly what the explanation is. I'm just going to leave it at that, and you guys could judge for yourself. And I feel like maybe he's not confident and doesn't exactly feel comfortable to say what happens. Or whatever it is. And I don't think he's not doing himself any favors. I think it could have been put to bed if he would have said, I went there, I proposed to this woman, the relationship didn't work out. You know, maybe I wasn't the best then, but I'm working on myself. He would have sounded like a superstar.
And that could all be what it was. You know, it is a hard place for someone like him to navigate because, you know, she keeps saying he didn't sign up for it, but he did. If you're going to marry a housewife, a senator, you know, chief of police, whatever, there's going to be some element of your own life that is going to be examined and criticized and that you have to be careful of. However, in his defense,
yes,
there are a million women weekend boot camp from Tony Robbins to Teddy Mellencamp to get your shit together to Goop and Poosh and all this stuff. And we all might have gone to one of those things. I mean, if someone got a video of me at my senior Catholic retreat, you know, which I would love to see. But that could look creepy and weird now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah,
listen,
someone encouraged you to go.
I'm with you. I'm just not into like beating the crap out of each other, throwing people overboard, blindfolding you. You know, and at the end, they all beat the crap out of each other, beat the shit out of each other.
You know, they kind of address this in the series You. Did you ever see You?
No.
On Netflix? Season 3 of You, you guys are going to remember this because I know my audience watched it. But the main character has a neighbor that then goes, come on this weekend with me. And he kind of runs it himself. And his wife is this huge social influencer. It's a scripted show. But I definitely think they got the idea of this one particular storyline from the fact that it actually exists.
No, it does actually exist. So I just said, you know, how bad do you have to feel to go to something like this where you have to get beat up and all this stuff? That was it, you know, because it was out there.
Right.
I actually felt bad for him. I actually felt bad for him. I was like, just explain it away so it doesn't have to like be lingering.
Yes. And one thing we always love in a reality show, especially Housewives, is when we see the producer and they break the fourth wall.
Oh, I love it. I love it too.
So Teresa, you know, realizes that this shit's going down and he's calls her up, Louis, and he's like, I don't know if I want to be there. Like he's nervous about coming and being on camera, which you know, they, you guys do such a great job in us like just zooming in on your life, but then we also have to realize that there are cameras around and like there is someone putting on a mic pack and like, oh, sorry, it's going to be cold and all this other weird stuff. And, you know, so he's like, yeah, I'm kind of nervous. And so she turns off her mic. And then we see the producer come and be like, but really, we want him to come so that he can like explain it. And of course, they know this is, I mean, as a viewer, this is the kind of stuff we love because it's happening in real time. We all remember it happening. We all remember calling each other and being obsessed with it. And you guys are actually filming it. So it's like, of course, we want to see it. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I always feel for a housewife that's, famous and falling in love with someone, and they know that as great as this life has brought Teresa with her cookbooks and her fame and her daughters, you know, being famous, and I know that she loves doing this show, I felt for her, like, you know, struggling, like, oh fuck, you know, I don't want him to get scared and run away because I really do love this person.
No, I agree with you, and I think that was a very hard moment, but I'm just like, I don't think he could have just come. I just think it's just like, be honest. It's much easier, as painful as it is. If she didn't pretend the whole time, everything's okay. You dig deeper and deeper. If right. you just get everything out in the open, he knew what he signed up for. He signed the release. He poses for the paparazzi. He has a public Instagram. Unfortunately, reality shows, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And then, so we see Dolores, who just is getting prettier every day.
Yeah, I mean, I know. She's just a natural beauty. Gorgeous. A natural beauty with, you know, a little help.
But her
structure is to die.
Her little help is so good.
It's like, so
it really,
good.
It really works on her.
Her face is like stunning. Yeah. Like her bone structure is to die. Her body looks great. But I'm just saying her face, you can't look that good if you didn't have it to start out with.
Yes. And so she's with Dr. David or whatever. It's David, right? That was her ex.
Yeah, her ex.
They broke up. So this is all over and there was controversy. Is the girl that the doctor is currently dating, or do you know, at one time, did she also date Teresa's Louis?
You know, I heard that it's true. Her name is Vanessa. She's a life coach. I have seen her in photographs with his other ex-fiance, Vanessa. They have worked together. I mean, all his exes have teamed up together, so I don't know why she would have been with the ex. She says it's really not the case. They knew each other, that Louis pursued her. They didn't date. So I don't know. I really don't know the real truth. But they do know each other. They're connected, but I don't know the real story.
Well, I mean, that's pretty juicy, but
yes,
you know, I guess New Jersey is not that big of a place.
I mean, it's like people. it's a tiny little postage stamp. I don't understand, you know, yeah. It's the Bergen County area.
So the season is off to a great start. We have a lot of episodes left. And so, you know, I'm enjoying it. Do we get to see the guys go on their comedy tour on the show? Did the cameras ever follow them to that?
You know, I think it's only in flashbacks. They follow them, but it's only like in flashbacks, really.
Oh, okay. And all right, so let's talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. They had a reunion last night.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like this franchise? Do you watch it religiously? Like, what's your
relationship? I love the franchise. I think it's a great franchise. I mean, they had a lot going on.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about the reunion was the dresses, but that's a given. But it was just, I felt bad Mary wasn't there. I really wish she would have been there because I felt like they needed her.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, she chose not to be there.
And, yes, I
you
know.
And that should be a lesson to other housewives. Not only do I think you miss out on a big paycheck and kind of piss off the whole Bravo world, but also then you don't have a chance to defend yourself because on last night's episode, I mean, there's so much darkness that's happening in.
I know.
I mean, so there's one girl, Jen, who's looking at, you know, I mean, they say maximum. So maximum 30 years in prison. That could be three. Who knows what it ends up being. But she has her whole thing and she got arrested basically got arrested while they were filming. Then we have the new girl, Jenny, who has since been fired from
since
the
been
show.
Fired. And then she was calling Mary a racist. And then meanwhile, she got fired for racist tweets.
Yes. And one thing I said that I thought was interesting, because I've said it on my show, is I brought up the fact that she grew up in Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think that unfortunately, Jenny and Mary are racist to each other. And I think it's partially probably because they're women of a certain age that were raised. She says, oh, you know, I was raised in Long Beach and it's so diverse. But unfortunately, sometimes the most diverse situations can breed like really mean racism as well as places that are all, you know, homogeneous.
Whatever the word is.
Yeah. So it's like, so she kind of says all of that. And it just like, oh, that part was just, the whole thing was just really unfortunate. And
yes, I agree with you. And it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable.
And I feel, you know, there were things about Jenny that I liked. And then there were things that I was like, oh, good riddance. Like, and she throws this glass at Mary.
I see that.
I think that was awful.
Yeah, Mary was walking away. It was like at her back. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I really thought, you know what? Even if you weren't fired, to me, that feels like a reason to start fire. Like, it felt so desperate to like get a second season. Let's be dramatic. Maybe she really is that violent. But if you really are, do we really want this? I mean, like, I don't know. I know it's hard because we, you know, New Jersey became the most, you know, Therese became famous for flipping a table. That was the first time we ever really saw that kind of physicality. Mm-hmm. And then there were other physical moments throughout the stuff. And I guess we kind of like it. We like to see the anger. But then the more we watch it, where sometimes you're just like, okay, is this real? Or did this person like plan this out?
Yeah, she was like, I think that looked a little planned out.
Yeah.
I just want to also say, Jen Shuck, calm, very calm, cool as a cucumber. So, I think I'd be crapping a brick. I'd be having a breakdown.
If you were looking at that kind of time?
Yeah, I don't think I could do another season. I would just be like praying. I'd be in church. I'd be with my attorneys. I don't know. But I mean, I know.
Maybe that is why she's in this predicament, because she does think she's untouchable and she does think she's shamazing. And she does think that she does nothing wrong. And I think that, you know, take away, you know, these possible, you know, these criminal charges that she has to fight. She was kind of like more likable. I hated her last season.
I agree. She is more likable.
She's a little more likable. Like, she's had like some funny moments. She can be kind of charming. And, but I mean, everything I've read on it, it's not looking great. I mean, every single person has done a plea deal under her and admitted to doing wrongdoing. So I don't see how she's going to get out of it.
I know. But it's like, I'm just like, oh, good God. You know, it's just, I feel
but
like.
But then I think, like, if you think that you're going to go to jail, why not be shamazing and have some fun? Like, why not make as much money as you can make?
That's true, too. It's just like live your best life till you go. I guess you're absolutely right. I mean, listen, these women, I got to give them credit. They've stuck by her.
Yeah.
They've stuck by her. This is like, you know, a group that you want in your sinking ship. I mean, truthfully.
I mean, and then part of it is like, okay, she's here. You know, it hasn't been convicted. I mean, people were, you know, really harsh on Erica, and that was really the whole
thing. And that was her husband, not even her.
Right. And that's what some other people were saying. Like, don't you think it's weird that somebody had written to me, like, I was like so, you know, anti-Erica Jayne, so disgusted and everything. But I think it's because as the viewer, Erica was so unapologetic, so like, I don't know. And then with Jen, she's just like, what we've seen, she hasn't tried to defend herself. She's just like, yeah, I don't know what this is all about, but we're fighting it. And that's it. And
I know.
And the cast members don't have the information like the Beverly Hills cast mates did, being in Los Angeles, the LA Times article, the number of lawsuits that were going on with Tom Girardi. So they could really arm themselves with some like easy information to kind of ask her about and discuss. And to this day, I still don't really understand the Jen crime, and the Jen crime is not as juicy as the Tom Girardi history. And so it's like, I think we just want to sit back and, oh, just wear your weird outfit and your feathers and dance around in snowflakes. I don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying. But I was just like, Joe and I were just like mesmerized by the whole like perkiness and that, yeah, and lightheartedness. And she looks better than ever, where poor Erica Jane looked like she was through the ringer by the time her reunion came. You could see it wore on,
yes,
her.
Yes, she looked off.
And Jen Shah looks like $1 million. I mean, she never looked better. Her skin's smooth. She looks youthful. I mean, I was like, wow.
I know. And as weird as the outfit was, I'm like, that purple eyeshadow looks really pretty with these ridiculous feathers. But I mean, let's just talk about the outfits for a minute. I mean, I felt like it was put together by a children's craft store. All of them.
I just don't know what anybody was thinking, because these are attractive women. I don't understand the excessive feathers. I mean, listen, Jersey's not always known for the best style. So I'm not going to act like, you know, we're so above, you know, that we have the epitome of good taste. I mean, some of us do. but I think this hit an all-time low.
But also, they always give you guys like a theme. Like, so I assume their theme was like jewel tones or whatever.
I know, but jewel tones, where was jewel tones mixed with Big Bird? I don't get it. You know what I mean?
I think they both went feathers, but didn't like consult with each other. But they're going, they each thought they were going to be the only one with feathers. Meredith and what do you think of Lisa Barlow and like why everyone goes after Lisa Barlow? Because again, as a viewer, I'm very confused why everyone thinks that Lisa Barlow is like the worst person on earth, like the other cast members.
I don't know why they think that. I think that hot mic moment really sealed her fate a little bit, because her and Meredith were good friends and then supposedly good friends. I feel like maybe they're not such good friends, because you really wouldn't say such a thing like that if that was your good friend.
No, it was really weird. And I think when Lisa Barlow, like what tipped Lisa Barlow over the edge, I still don't understand what tipped her to a place to go.
I don't get it.
Like, that's where I think that there's so much going behind the scenes, whether Lisa Barlow is someone that's kind of manipulating it to get good scenes or what, and how she would, you know, bring up the fact that like, oh, but Meredith, you got a detective to, or a private investigator, you know, to go after Jen. And then she had to clarify, like, so I guess they felt like her hands were dirty and all this stuff. But I mean, but then in the end, you look back at the season and you're like, well, if it wasn't for Lisa Barlow, like, I don't know that we'd have that the show would have kept my interest, including her horrible rant.
No, I agree. And I think Lisa Barlow is a beautiful, great housewife. I mean, she's getting it from every angle.
Right.
You know, everyone's ganging up on her for sure. They're all very upset with her. And that's what I find so interesting, because we have someone on the cast who literally is, you know, possibly committed a very horrific crime, you know, innocent till proven guilty. But I mean, that should be, but then we're, you know, someone who really, you know, it's all about her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mary was so bizarre, but the bizarreness added to the show. But I'm not necessarily sad to see her go, because I was very into exploring that church. And
I know you did a drive by. You were in front of it. I saw you.
It was very bizarre, which I said when I fainted on stage. I'm like, I came for Mary, and Mary may have sent Jesus for me.
I think that's what happened. Yeah. Gave you a little whap on the head.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. When those producers met Mary with her, you know, all her designer clothes and being a head of this weird church, they must have just been like, I just imagine the person that found her and then brought it to the bosses and is like, I think we have a really great housewife. She has her own church. Like, it would be like, oh my God, this is like crazy. But then the only thing about this bizarre cast is like, is it that sustainable? You know, like, because I don't feel like there was a cohesiveness. Like when the start of New Jersey started, it began with women who really knew each other, were sisters and sisters-in-laws, and it just like, oh my God, this is so great. And then it always built. And with each person that left, another one would come in that had like a real connection or could create a real connection. And that with this group, I feel like it's very discombobulated. Like nobody was really that besties when it started, it seems like, except maybe Meredith and Lisa. I don't even think they were really that close.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly is going on there. But listen, Heather and Whitney are cousins. They seem very bonded.
But then I don't know if the cousins thing, it's like they figured out they were cousins because they were like friendly on the show. And then they like did a DNA
did a
test.
Search? Is that
no,
what
it wasn't.
Was?
Yeah, it wasn't like they were growing up as cousins.
They didn't hang out. They didn't hang
out. No, no. But now they're close.
Yeah, they're close. So they're good. But I just don't understand. Like, I didn't understand the Meredith who was like obsessed with Mary because they're very different people.
Yeah.
I want to know who everybody was dating. What's going to happen with that?
Oh, the guy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you know who the guy is?
No. Do you?
Yes. Supposedly rumors. He's someone that has made a couple appearances on New York's show.
Yeah. So who could that be besides Harry Dubin?
I will send you a photo. When I send you the photo, you're going to go, oh, okay. I kind of remember him. And I don't even know that this is 100% true, but this is what the rumor is and why. And so supposedly this guy, you know, kind of dated a couple women on the New York cast. And then maybe they DM'd each other, met up when they were doing Watch What Happens Live or they were in New York. And so then during that time, supposedly, allegedly, he dated both Jen and Meredith. But Meredith always made it very clear that they were separated and, you know, they were able to see each other during that separation. Jen has never revealed that her marriage isn't anything
but perfect. Yeah.
Well, not necessarily perfect because she does say they were like fighting at one point last season, but never to the point of like, you know, seeing other people. But there was this one moment where she's crying after she like got in a fight and she threw a glass at her husband's birthday. Then she reveals to the friends,
I remember that.
Like, oh, Coach Shaw left for a few days and we're fighting. But so I don't know if in this reunion they're going to bring up the fact that, you know, that it was revealed that where Jen went home from the Uber, where they didn't know where she went after Heather sent her an Uber home. And is she dating, you know, why does she know who Jen dated? And why does she know who Meredith dated? And why does Lisa Barlow know? And who is that person? But pretty much in all, I don't even know if this is in the show or if I heard it from like, you know, the detectives of Housewives. But I think the story is that at one time they both got with this guy. And, you know what? I don't think there's a lot to choose from after a certain point of age. Like, I don't think, I mean, he probably was pretty dapper. They're in New York. He's acting charming. And they're like, sure, why not? I don't know. I saw him. I don't think he's that great. But maybe, you know, you're in Salt Lake City and then you're in New York and this guy's like, meet me at a hotel and he's flirty with you and you're separated from your husband. And so maybe it did happen.
All right. Okay. I mean, I could see Meredith. I mean, Jen Shaw. I mean, running around on the coach. I mean, all right. Listen, you know, whatever.
And the other question is that I'm excited for Andy to ask. One is Meredith wearing a chest plate? Because of the amount
yes,
of people that commented.
He does finally ask it.
And I think I even tweeted it. Like, he better ask that. And the other is, why is no one asking if Coach Shaw knows where her income came from when everyone was questioning Erica Jane?
Yes,
about
yes.
where her husband.
I'm sure he asked that. I'm sure he's going to ask that.
No, he is. He is going to ask that. So I saw that.
But that chest plate too. I was like, that is a chest plate. Like, what do you think that is? Did she maybe have laser on her chest, so she wore a chest plate? It has to be something.
I don't know because the outfit that people thought that Meredith was wearing a chest plate in. Her boobs look flatter than they do in other cleavage-y things.
Yes, yes.
So that's like, it was so bizarre. But yeah, I don't know. It could have just been a weird lighting.
Mesh. No way.
But why would someone do that?
Did she maybe just have surgery and there were scars or they couldn't cover it with makeup or maybe it was something like that. She just had laser or...
I don't know. I'm just imagining like the makeup or the stylist, you know, guy who's like, this is so great. It's called a chest plate. I used to do drag. Like, who would have thought? Like,
I don't know.
You know, there's always some makeup artist that like tries to talk you into something bizarre. And you're like, okay, I guess you know better than me. Like,
yes,
what the fuck?
Exactly. I don't know. But listen, she has worn some outlandish things. Yeah. So it wouldn't be abnormal for her to wear a chest plate.
So, okay, in Salt Lake City, we saw a very ridiculous sex scene between Whitney and her husband, where she basically is just wearing a G-string with pasties on, and it's just crazy. And I remember you had a bit of a sexy scene with your Joe that the producers must have talked you into. And so I kind of went deep on this last week, and I'm like, how does this work? How do you agree to kind of basically let the, you know, cameramen and stuff see you naked, whether they fuzz it out or not? Like, how does a scene like that come about? And do you ever have regrets when you go a little too naked or sexual on the reality show?
Well, I look at it this way. With me, I always shower with Joe. That's a common occurrence. So we shower together every morning, and we don't have sex in the shower. We just shower together. So they were like, do your normal morning routine. We want to get you and Joe in the shower. So I was like, all right, to me, it's not a big deal. So they didn't have a lot of convincing to do for Joe and I. Joe was more concerned the camera guys were going to see me naked. I was like, I've done a tub scene. I mean, they're used to seeing me, and, you know, I'm far from the, you know, best shape woman on my show, so they could give two craps.
You didn't care. So you were full vagina out, tits
out.
No.
They let me get in the shower first. Joe and I were getting in the shower anyway. And then, you know, they set up the lighting and everything in there. So we had our shower door closed. You know, they did it. So you didn't see us. They showed us through the shower door.
Oh, okay.
So all it wasn't as bad, you know, for us. Because we do shower together all the time. So for me, that was like my normal life. It wasn't so... The scene that Whitney did.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd feel that comfortable. It can't be real. You know, they must do that all the time. I mean, I'm obviously very lazy. I don't do things like that. I always say I'm a lazy bottom. I mean, what am I going to do?
I mean, I just kind of was like, wow, like you have pasties on and.
I mean, she's in good shape.
No, I mean, she's hot. I mean, it's cute.
She's a hot girl.
I just sometimes think like, sometimes you don't think about it. You get talked into it. Just like you always hear about models that are like, well, I was just going to be a regular model. And then the photographer said, now take off your top and hold your hands. Now just put your arms above your head. And now there's nude photos of me. Like, I literally think a reality show producer can talk someone into doing something that
it's probably like, oh, you guys are such a great couple.
Yeah.
You know, show us like your little sexy time. And, you know, they're into each other. They're like, all right, fine. Who cares? You know, I'm sure it's something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, but our shower scene was, I was like, all right, no problem.
Right. Exactly. Well, okay. And then you said you watched a little of Miami. That's...
No, I happen to love Miami and I have to catch up. I think they all look amazing. They're all great cast members.
It's really good.
That's a very good show.
It's really good. And you have the beauty of Miami and it's very juicy and it's very juicy with the Larsa Pippen and Alexia's life is crazy. And the previews of their reunion, which I think start this week, look really good.
Yes. And I'm friends with Marisol and I love Marisol. So I feel like a personal connection because I text with Marisol. So I do feel, they're just natural. It's like watching a telenovela, right? It's just to me, that's like a real life summer. It's just totally different. I think they are always like that. Just the high drama of being, you know, in Miami.
And are you watching OC at all?
I'm not really watching OC, and I know Heather Dubrow got very upset with me because I was put in a position to say, you know, the best franchise, you know, they asked me and what's not as great now. And I did say OC, and everyone's like, how could you say that, Margaret? You guys think Jersey's best? That's not what I'm saying. I just said I didn't feel like the cast was gelling as much, and everybody took it as a personal affront. I was like, geez, someone asked me my opinion. Everyone, you know, calm it down.
Yeah.
You know, we're all great. We're all great franchises. But right now, that's the cast that wasn't gelling as much as everything else.
Well, I will watch it till I die. Like,
you're still in the OC. Yeah.
I still watch. I'm not in it, but I like to be there. But I mean, there's, you know, but that's the thing. Like, sometimes, and sometimes the fans are kind of awful because it's like, sometimes there isn't that much going on
in
people's
lives.
Sometimes not. sometimes someone's not going through divorce. Sometimes someone's not getting investigated by the FBI.
Thank God. I know.
And then everyone's like bitchy about it. And it's like, well, and they're not professional comedians. So sometimes just getting wasted and falling over isn't that funny either. Sometimes there has to be more. And you know, I think all the girls are great. But yeah, like storyline-wise, is it as like super intriguing and juicy and edge of your street, you know, edge of your seat as Beverly Hills and New Jersey and Salt Lake? Probably not. But like, what are you going to do about it?
It's still a good show. I'm not saying it's not a good show. I just feel like it's a little, you know, I just felt like it was just a little disjointed compared to, and not because they don't have natural drama or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think all the ladies are great on that show.
Yes.
But everybody was like, woo, I got it. Everyone's like, my, yeah. I was like, all right, calm it down. You can't have an opinion. You cannot have an opinion. Listen, Kelly Dodd, very upset with me. She said I was very full of myself at BravoCon. She said I was full of myself because I said I have good skin because I use Irish Spring soap. I mean, that's the opposite of being pretentious. I mean, I'd be pretentious if I said I use La Mer.
Yes.
Irish Spring is, I mean, it's literally 99 cents a bar.
Is that really what you use?
Yes. For years, I've used that. Last year, I started using Eve Lom because everyone, you know, my everyone was like, you got to stop. But I swear, that's, I think, why I didn't have pimples. And my skin looked, you can say you want. I have cellulite. I did get a facelift, but that doesn't fix skin. My skin is good. I don't think that's so bad to say that I have good skin. I mean, that's not pompous. I mean, cut me a break.
Yeah. Well, are you and Kelly okay now?
I mean, I didn't even talk to her.
It's been like 2 years. I think she's
going
over
and
it.
Then she said she's going to argue with me because I'm full of myself if we ever go on Girls Trip season 3. I was like, fine. I was like, you know what? You know, bring your A game. You think I care? You and little Rick, all day.
I actually think you guys would have a blast.
And yes,
I'd love to see you on Girls Trip 3.
It would be
Who else do you want on Girls Trip 3? Let's cast it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I would probably do all current housewives or whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, because unfortunately, Dorinda just did the one that's coming out because I'd love to be there. But like if it was me, I would take Dolores for my crew because Teresa and Melissa did it, right? So it would be me and Dolores. Let me just pick something from everywhere. Okay. Beverly Hills, I would actually take Lisa Rinna.
Definitely.
Because, you know, you want a fun person. You want someone who's going to say crazy shit. You need it.
And that's going to ask interesting questions and stuff. That's what kind of made the Bahama girl trip really great is that they had those moments of like, now tell me what you were feeling during this time in your life. Like it was kind of like having breakfast like you would with girls on a girls trip. And
yeah,
so
you don't
I'm
want somebody
for
who's
going to
sit there and be like, you know,
right.
I would take Karen Huger. I would take Karen Huger. Atlanta, I would really take Marlo.
Oh yes.
I like Marlo. I always loved her when she was a friend of that. She's a peach now. She's amazing. I love
she's
the way
funny.
She dresses.
Yeah.
I met her at Andy's baby shower. I thought she was fabulous. From the OC, I would probably take Shannon.
Yes.
I know. I would take Shannon because first of all, we you know, we're both blondes. I need my blonde, you know, since I know her. I feel like I'm more bonded with her than everybody else on that show. And who else? What are the friends? Oh, Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Who would I have to take from Salt? I mean, that could be a tough one. I mean, the natural thing would be to say like a Heather Gay because we get along and I'd have to take a Heather Gay.
I think take a Heather Gay because you got to have someone's going to drink and have fun. And
yes.
And you got to take someone that isn't as self-conscious. Because the whole, like, that's what will make it fun is someone that's just, like, self-deprecating.
Yeah, just out there and totally themselves. And I take a Heather Gay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that would be such a good group of women.
Well, you're welcome, Andy. We just cast it. So
yes,
I hope you guys have a great time.
I hope so.
Margaret, tell everybody what you're working on and what's coming up besides the show.
Okay. So what I'm working on is, first of all, I have a mocktail coming out called Soiree. In the next like month, God willing, it comes in from the bottler because like we said, I don't drink, right? It's coming out in slim cans, 4 elevated flavors. You could see the cans behind us.
I love it.
They're very fabulous. So that'll be coming in and that's just not a housewife thing. That's, you know, I have a team and we're doing a really big thing. So that's great. I'm very excited about it. And you could also spike it. So working on that. My paperback is coming out actually this week, and I'm very excited about that. And there's a bonus chapter that is an interview with Marge Sr.
great.
Which is good.
And I've told people, I loved your book, and a lot of Juicy Troopers that read it really liked it.
That makes
me
feel
great. It is a good, interesting, juicy memoir with really great advice.
Thank you.
That sums up each chapter. That was really good.
Yeah, and a great chapter with Marge Sr., you know, about how she felt about the book and about her. And then, of course, my podcast, Caviar Dreams, Tuna Fish Budget, which is about entrepreneurs, people disrupting industries, people who had a dream and made their success happen. And that's great. I keep the pop culture because you're doing such a good job at it. I don't need to step into that arena. So, Kevin.
Well, I loved getting your opinion on all things Housewife.
Thank you.
We will keep watching every Tuesday night. New Jersey is really good, as always. And love to all the other girls. Love to Melissa. And hopefully let me know when you come out to LA and I'll see you.
Yeah. Well, hang out. Hopefully soon I'll be out there. Thanks, Heather.
Okay,
see you
good.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.